But now I want you to open John chapter 11. I want to speak about our wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Eternally, fully God, and yet He became man. John chapter 11, fully man. I love Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Paul often said things in the negative to emphasize it. He says, we don't want to have one that can't be touched. We have one who knows the feelings of our infirmities. Isn't that a blessing? The Lord knows. The Lord knows the feelings of our infirmities. Even when we are sick, even when those whom we love are very sick, the Lord is good and He knows. All of us have had people who are very dear to us who have become sick, and many of you have had those close loved ones to die. That's a reality. Let me say, you ignore that reality, you're going to have greater trouble. It is a reality. But I am so glad that Jesus loves me. That's so easy to say. Let it sink in. Child of God, you can say, Jesus loves me. We learned as children, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Here it told, look at verse 3. Therefore, his sisters, Lazarus' sisters, sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. It took one full day for the messenger to travel from Bethany to where the Lord was and then to travel back. So that was 2 days of travel this messenger had. They did not send him because he had a headache. You see, he was very sick. It was obvious. They were sent him because they were alarmed. He is very sick. Last August, a very dear friend, in fact, my best friend in the ministry, his wife, and she's my dear friend, Virginia, called me and said, Brother Paul, he whom you love is sick, very sick. Can you come? You know, I was in Thailand. He died the next morning. February, another very dear friend, we were like this in the 80s and 90s. We traveled together, did so much together, but he had cancer. 60 years old. 60 years old. Talked to him on the phone. He could barely talk to me. Died. Hurts. Hurts. March the 30th, Friday morning, my sister called. She said, Paul, Mama's dead. Mama's dead. I was planning on going to if I could take a week off in May, I was going to go to her 90th birthday and surprise her. But you know, that's real. Just say, it's very real. This passage speaks to us where we are. John 11, look at verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved Lazarus, but he didn't go. Look at verse 6. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. You get that? He stayed 2 days. He knew he was very, very sick, and yet he waited. The Lord has His purpose in all things. We don't understand. Oftentimes we are left, wait, what is going on? Why is this happening? Why doesn't the Lord intervene in this situation? Look back at verse 4. When Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness, this illness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. You say, sometimes that is true. And we've seen that. We've seen that in our lives, that God has raised up people. It seemed that they had
They were going to die soon, and God raised him up and restored their health. What a blessing. God gets all the glory. But at times there's sickness to get our attention. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, whom the Lord loves, he spanks. But 1 Corinthians 11, he says, for this reason, some of you are sick and weak, and some of you sleep. Why? Because of sin in our lives. But God is good to spank us, isn't he? He gets our attention sometimes. I know that. At times the Lord allows sickness that we might be able to display the greatness of his grace and our love for him and for others. I mean, we continue on when we hurt. We keep going when it's so difficult. And that God's glorified. Paul besought the Lord three times. Lord, deliver me from this. But my grace is sufficient. And it is. But at times the Lord allows sickness because he's going to take us home. That's it. And it's his time. But it hurts. Look at verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. So Lazarus, when the Lord arrived in Bethany, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days already. And later on we read when they were going to roll the stone away. Well, the Lord said, roll the stone away. They said, well, he stinks. His body would already be corrupting. Look at verse 19. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. So they had been crying for 4 days. And we understand the reality of that. And that's good that we grieve. Now, we don't grieve we as those who have no hope, 1 Thessalonians 4. But we do grieve. They were brokenhearted. There was a hole in their hearts because their brother was gone. So their friends came to comfort them. Now look at verse 20. And I'll read down through 24. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Well, there's her faith. But I know that even now, whatever you ask will ask of God, God will give it you. Jesus said unto her, your brother shall rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But here I want us to focus on for the remainder of the message. Now the Lord speaks some of the most astounding, most amazing, most comforting words that were ever spoken by anyone. These words are good news for the Christian who is sick. They give us courage in facing death. These words, as read and believed, give comfort to the family and friends of Christians who have died. Look at verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He told Martha, I am the resurrection. In the Greek language, that's emphatic. I am. And Moses said, Lord, whom shall I say sent me? What is your name? I am that I am. Jesus said, I am. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the one who has all the power to restore life. I am the life. As you read the book of John, as you start back at the beginning of this gospel account, we begin with, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and with him was not one thing made that was made. All things were made by him. This is the Creator. He says, I am the life. Colossians 1:17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He's speaking of Jesus Christ. Let me say, if this book is not true, it is the biggest fraud that ever was. But I want you to know it's the truth. It is the truth. And here we're told that by Jesus Christ, everything that is held together by him. He controls. He's in control. Not only that, at the end of verse 16, the verse before, it says, all things were made by him and for him. Do you believe that? I do believe it. Not only by him, but for him. One of the difficulties with many different languages is some of them don't have prepositions. For. We were not only made by him, we were made for him. That's our purpose in life. When God created, He created for His glory. And when He created mankind, He created us to know Him and to fellowship with Him. And that's an amazing thing. You weren't made for yourself. You were made for the Lord. Oh, to glorify Him, to love Him, to know Him. Let me say, without that, everything else is empty. Don't you thank God for the pleasures of life? Yesterday we went on a hike and enjoyed that. Now let me say, that's not the reason for life. Enjoy the pleasures, yes, but those are empty in themselves, and when you do it, it's gone. Possessions. Everything you have is going to burn. Oh, the praise of men. Oh, wow. Look how people look at me. Ah, they'll die and you will too. And you'll soon be forgotten. Let me say, that's so empty. But there in 1 John 2, he says, he that does the will of God abides forever. You see, that's what's lasting. Knowing the Lord, that's what's lasting. And the Lord Jesus is saying, I am the resurrection. I am the one to raise the dead. I am the one who restores to life, to fellowship with God. And why is that needed? It's needed because we know in the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, Adam sinned. God had told him, the day you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die. He died. But not only that, this race fell with him. And we were not only born in sin, but we sin and we live lives separated from God. And the Lord Jesus, though, He came to save us from our sins. He came to restore us to fellowship with God. He is the resurrection and the life. John 17 and verse 3, our Lord's high priestly prayer. I love this. Verse 3, in that prayer, He said so much as He was speaking to the Father, but He says, and this is life eternal. This is eternal life. What is eternal life? It's not length. No, all will exist forever. Whether you believe that or not, you're going to exist forever, heaven or in hell. But He says, this is eternal life, that they might know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. You see, Christianity is not a religion. That's the false stuff that has been added in. The devil's thrown in so that people think because they do this and this and this and this, they're a Christian. No, Christians are those who are children of God. They've been born again. They have a relationship. And Jesus said, that's eternal life. To be restored to life. To know your Creator. To know the Savior, the Lord Jesus, whom He sent. He said, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. To have life. Not religion, not binding us, but freeing us. The Son makes you free. You're free indeed. What did He do that we might have life, that we might be raised to newness of life? He became a man. We can't even fathom infinite God, eternal God, stepping into a finite body and into time. The limitations of time into a mortal body, a body of flesh and blood, one that knew pain and suffering, so that He knows the feelings of our infirmities in reality. It's amazing, but why? Because He as God had no debt. He as the Son of God became man that He might be our mediator, that He might be our substitute and fulfill the debt which we owe to God, that He might fulfill the righteousness we owe to God, and that He might bear our sins in His own body and so satisfy the justice of God, so that now God can justly forgive us because our sins were laid upon Him and fully paid. I am the resurrection. What does the resurrection say? The resurrection says, my sins are gone. It says, full payment. Payment in full. Doesn't it make you happy? If you're a child of God, to know all those sins, all were laid on Him. That's why He came. To restore us to God. To pay that debt. To die for sinners just like us. But now, here is Lazarus. Lazarus who believed. Lazarus, if you would, who was a Christian. He He had turned from his sin. He had bowed to Jesus. Jesus was his Lord. And Lazarus has died. And the Lord Jesus is teaching us an important truth. Lazarus, whom Jesus loved, was dead. Brother Jack, Brother Larry, my mother, they are dead. That's real. You can pretend to talk to them, you could go to them, but they're not there anymore. They've left that body. Death is real. And 1 Corinthians 15, it's an enemy. It's the last enemy that shall be destroyed. There's going to be a time when there'll be no more death. Hallelujah. But Lazarus, Brother Jack, Brother Larry, my mom, they're not dead. Look at verse 26. And whosoever, here's our Lord speaking, whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Period. Fact. Now look at the question. Do you believe this? He put it to Martha. Do you believe it? Do you believe this? Very personal. And I ask you today, do you believe this? This wasn't just for Lazarus. Look what he said. Whosoever lives and believes. Let me say, my friend, when you die, it's too late. No, it's in this life. Whoever lives and believes. I've heard people say, well, I'll deal with that after I die. No, you won't. Had a cousin ran away from California, came to Oklahoma. He was a smart guy. But he, young teenager, and I witnessed the Lord had saved me. So I talked to him. He says, I'm going to be buried in an asbestos suit. And he said, I'm going to go to hell and be with my friends. I said, you won't have any friends. No, the only time to be saved is now. Now. 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You realize the only time you have is right now. You don't know the next minute you're going to be here. People die like that all the time. You remember that years ago, I don't remember his name, but the guy that taught aerobics. And what happened to him? He fell over dead with a heart attack. You know, you don't know. Now is the time. He that lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Martha did. Look at verse 27. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ. You are the prophet. You are my high priest. You are the king. You're my savior. You're my mediator. You're the Son of God, which should come into the world. Prophesied from Genesis all the way through, I believe. Do you believe? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, that's a heart faith. Yes, it's not superficial. It is from our heart, looking to one as a Savior from our sins. Not from hell. Hell is the fruit. I mean, that's the consequences. But our sin is the ugly thing. Our sin is that which is against God. But all our sins forgiven. Do you believe? Do you believe? Oh, my friend, look to Christ. Believe on Him. He is alive. He is alive. But I want to say, apply this to a Christian as well. I'm glad the Lord is the resurrection, the restorer. You ever make a mess? I'm not talking about a mess in the kitchen or your messy bedroom or your closet or under your bed or whatever. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a mess in your life. I'm talking about as a Christian. You know, Peter made a big mess. Here he was, a follower of Christ, one of his apostles, disciples, and yet, when the Lord was arrested, he had said, I'll die with you, Lord. And he took out a sword. But pretty soon, he denied the Lord three times. And cursed. The Lord said he was going to do it. He said, Peter, when you're converted, when you are restored, he said, then you help your brethren. Strengthen your brothers. But he said, you're going to do it. But don't we all make messes? Aren't you glad the Lord doesn't throw us away? We're not perfect. We want to be. Yes, we want to be. We want to walk in the light. But it is true, as we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. But the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us if we confess our sins. Isn't it a blessing that that prodigal son, you say that represents a lost man, well, let it represent what you will. He returned to the Father with full forgiveness. Now, let me say, Christian, what a blessing when we stray. Our shepherd, he doesn't leave us alone. He restores us. Isn't that what David said? Didn't David go astray pretty far? He restores my soul. What a blessing there is forgiveness with him. The one who is the resurrection and the life. The one who is life and the one that we can come to boldly. You see, Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of justice? No! We don't have any hope. We come to the throne of justice, we're guilty. We come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. We deserve judgment. We find mercy and grace to help in time of need. That's the Savior. Oh, let us look to Him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for such a Savior as Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, thank You for loving such rebels. We who just ignored You. Though Your glory, as we sang a little while ago, Your glory is all around us. You made the heavens and the earth and everything. We see Your glory displayed. How could these things just be, Lord? We know that You are. And yet, Lord, we ignored You. And yet, You loved us. And You sought us. And You brought us into the hearing of Your gospel. And You brought us to the Lord Jesus, our Savior. The one who paid for all our sins. We thank You, Father. We thank You for the multitude of times You have restored us. Lord, we have strayed many times. You're so faithful. Keep us by Your grace, Lord. Forgive us wherein we come short of Your glory. Help us to serve You and to live unto You. We thank You, Father, for this text, that the Lord Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and he that lives and believes in You shall never die. And we believe it, Lord. We believe that these who have died in Christ, that they are alive and they're with You, and one day we shall be together again. Thank You for this comfort. Thank You for this passage, Lord. We love You now. We give You the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.